B-Pod Studios.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Red Sox slugger J.D. Martinez will soon be 32 years old. Tonight, he will be the starting designated hitter for the American League in the All-Star game in Cleveland. And this coming offseason, he'll have his first chance to opt out of his contract. That's right, his five-year, $110 million deal. It has opt-outs after each of the next three seasons. That's right, which means he can bail at any point going forward. He has his first chance to do it. This coming offseason, he will either opt into a $23.75 million salary for next season and play next year, making nearly $24 million, or he will opt out. And if he does choose to opt out, he also gets a $2.5 million buyout as part of that. So if he says, bye, Red Sox, they have to pay him $2.5 million just to leave and go into free agency, which is what a deal. I mean, these baseball players absolutely have it made. So he will have a decision to make this coming offseason and was asked about that decision when he met with the media in Cleveland ahead of the All-Star game. And here's what he had to say.
For me, I just listen to him. You know, that's what I pay him for.
Yeah.
Really. He gives me his opinion. He gives me his advice.
He is, just to clarify here, he's talking about his agent, Scott Boras. About him saying.
He's probably standing right there. He's
right.
Probably pointing to him
yeah.
when he says this. I just listen to him.
I'm asking for him his advice, and that's who he's referring to, just so it's clear who he's talking about. Let's start it over. Here's, once again, J.D. Martinez, client of Scott Boras.
For me, I just listen to him. You know, that's what I pay him for,
yeah.
Really. He gives me his opinion. He gives me his advice, and it's up to me after that to make my decision. So we're really not there yet where he's given me his opinion or his advice yet. So I think we've got to see how the season plays out.
You said, I mean, your last year, you'd love to be a Red Sox for the rest of your career long term. I assume that's still
that. 100%. 100%. You know, Boston's been my favorite team since I was a kid. And I've always dreamt of, you know, being there. And you love the family side of it and the way they treat their players and the way they act. And it's just a first-class organization. And, you know, obviously I'd like to be a part of it for the rest of my career, but that's not up to me, really.
Are you disappointed that there aren't long-term talks?
I don't know. I understand it. You know, it's a business. So I don't ever hold it against anybody or anything like that. I've been through it too many times. That's why if it did come out where I did opt out, it wouldn't be a personal thing. It's a business thing, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Same thing on their end, you know, it's an understanding in that.
Beetle, now you were parsing out John Henry's words pretty carefully there,
mm-hmm.
I thought. Now when he says, when J.D. Martinez says, it's not up to me, really.
I'll tell you what he meant. I'm going to do to you what you did to me, you jerk. He's 32 years. He's not even 32 yet. He's got 3 years remaining on the contract. He plans on playing beyond the age of 35. He doesn't control whether or not he plays for the Red Sox the rest of his career, even if he does not opt out of this deal. He's talking about the remainder of his career.
We're talking about, but the question was, is he going to trigger his option to leave this year?
But he starts,
that is up
his,
to him.
He starts his answer by saying, I want to play for the Red Sox for the rest of my career, but that's not up to me.
Oh, so in other words, unless they give him an additional extension,
he's
now,
saying that I don't know that that can be the case because
good decoding there.
I'm guessing he's thinking in his head, I'm going to play more than three more years. He believes that.
Yeah.
Most players, if you ask them at the age of 31, are you going to play more than three more years? They're saying, of course I'm going to play.
So he wants more.
You ask any 31-year-old major league player, they're going to be like, of course I'm playing more than three more years. I'm not quitting at the age of 34. Even though, you know, some players do retire by that age.
Would you read that to mean that if they don't extend him beyond these 3 years now, that he'll have to just go?
If he opts out, do you think he's going to settle for a three-year deal?
No.
Of course. And that's what he's saying that for. That's what I think that's about. he wants to opt out and he wants to get extended. He wants to opt out and get another 5-year deal.
Get a 5 or a 6-year
deal. And that's what he's doing. And that's what he's being, that's the guidance he is taking from his agent, Scott Boras. You think that was done accidentally? I actually think JD Martinez is one of these guys that people think he's not that smart. I've heard writers say this. I won't name names. I think he's smarter than you think he is, writers. I think he's actually sneaky smart, JD Martinez.
And that's why he thinks we're all want to be GMs.
He said some stupid things. That was one of them. But I've heard this. Dan, do writers think he's not the brightest bulb?
I wouldn't know that.
The people that are around there, you've heard this, Dan. You've heard the people that cover the team who have said this. There have been whispers, true or false.
I would not know that.
Rumors.
No.
He won't admit to it. I don't care. I don't cover the team. I don't give a flip. Right? I've heard these whispers. It doesn't bother me. I don't have to go over there.
There are sometimes guys you don't want taking your SATs for you.
And he's one of them.
I'm not saying he's one of them.
And he's one of them. That's what I've heard. I don't care. I'm going to say it. I hear that and I go, he's listening to his agent. He's taking good advice from his agent there. That was not by mistake. That was put in there on purpose.
Wow. He was certainly prepared.
He was prepared for this. Of course he is. You think he hasn't had a conversation with Scott Boras about this and about the opt-out coming up this coming offseason?
Not everyone's prepared.
I think this guy was. I think that's why he has 3 opt-outs the next 3 years. I think this guy is very focused on his money because he's a guy who came from almost being completely out of baseball and not having a career at all.
Released by the Astros.
And so he is very much in tune with how do I maximize the amount of money I make in my career and what I get out of this. He's going to squeeze every last drop out of this career and make sure he maximizes it for every last dollar that he can get out of Major League Baseball while he's in it. And good for him. He should. That's what I think he wants. Would you do it if you're the Red Sox?
No.
Hell no. Get bye.
Yeah.
If he opts out, you want a 5-year? Nope. Go get that elsewhere. I'd say see you later. I'd pay him his $2.5 million and send him on his way. In fact, isn't it sort of the job of Dave Dombrowski to sort of gauge that right now?
Yes.
Here and now?
They got that World Series last year. They're going to get high yield this year. And if it comes down to this, no, you let him go on that. You give him his $2.5 million in addition to go.
Could you pull the Pete Abe and move him in the next couple of weeks?
No, I don't think so.
That was Pete Abe's suggestion in his column a couple weeks ago. Get drastic measures. See if you want to talk extension. See what the, gauge where his head's at, what he's thinking, and then possibly move him.
Again, that goes back to our earlier conversation about Dombrowski, who was not of a mind to do anything other than try to win now while he's still here.
And not give a damn about anything beyond next year.
Dave Dombrowski is not thinking about this, and he's not going to be able to extend him. But he wants the player for the rest of this year. He does not want to abandon the quest to get in that one game wild card and then get hot and win the World Series again, which they could do. Doesn't feel like it with the way their bullpen's built right now. But last year, we felt like their bullpen was horrible, and they won the World Series. That's part of the problem, Beetle.
But
they got away with it last year by using starters in the postseason, and they had Kimbrel and Kelly. Kelly pitched very well in the postseason. So they pulled it off miraculously. And then said, we got this figured out. And then, of course, let Kimberly Kelly go and can't use starters in the bullpen during the regular season. So here we are.
That's it. And, I mean, I'm not saying that the reason why they won the World Series was because of Joe Kelly and what Craig Kimbrell did down the stretch. But
Joe Kelly was a part of it in that World Series.
Joe Kelly
was
100% a part of it. Yeah. And, you always had the notion it's like, okay, it may not be he may not be the best. You may not feel great when Kimbrel comes into the game, but he was still the guy, right up until the final outs of the last game.
Telling you how phony the save statistic is, he never blew a save in the postseason last year. But we all saw what our eyes saw, and I think their bullpen made, I think starters made 8 or 9 appearances in 11 games. I mean, it was a lot.
Yeah,
that's how they got through it, and that's what you can do when there's a day off every 3 days. And, you can play this out, and they were able to do that.
Well, so, as torturous as it was watching Kimbrel put 2 or 3 guys on base before he would record even a second out, much less a third out, at least he wasn't blowing games and blowing saves to the point where he tried, but it...
Sanchez gets a little more into that ball.
Well, now it's actually happening. Now the guys are coming in, and they're giving up runs, and they're blowing games. They're blowing saves, and they're giving up leads.
I'm sorry. That reminds me. I got to look up how Kimbrel's doing. Not too good over there, right? It was a rough start with the Cubs.
I haven't followed his Cubs start.
Yeah, it was. The first three were bad.
He's been rusty. He's been on the shelf.
He's just ill-equipped for the job that he's hired to do.
He's 0-1 with a 12.27 ERA.
Oh, that's not what you're looking for.
He must not have had those 5-2 games with a bunch of Florida Marlins coming up, you know, where he's immaculate.
Four games, two saves.
See? Two saves. Mm-hmm. Never mind that 12.53.
You know? Action update right here. Dan Shaughnessy is with us. Dan's date's coming up at 12:50. Women's World Cup came to a close over the weekend, Dan. I know you were watching.
Yes.
I read your column on it.
What did you glean from that column?
I felt it was written in a mocking tone.
You sensed a seething anger?
I didn't sense anger.
Good.
I just sensed that you were somehow mocking it.
I think mocking's strong. Are you going to parse out every word I say?
No, I'm not going to do that. I read it and I thought, Dan's mocking it, isn't he? He's mocking the World Cup.
He had to give homage to our fellow Americans.
And I felt you did it in a very facetious way.
I thought it was deft.
We'll mix that in as well coming up next.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Mullis, Laval, Rose up the middle, looking, cutting, shooting, goal! Laval to the U.S.
So, Dan, you were happy to see the U.S. Women's National Team win on Sunday? You were rooting for America?
My fellow Americans brought home the gold. Gotta like that. Everybody loves them.
And the golden boot. Don't forget about the golden boot.
The golden ball and the golden boot.
Yep.
Rapinoe won both. Golden ball and golden boot.
Well, she's part of the golden ball.
Well, one's for MVP and one's for most goals. She got them both.
Oh, is the golden ball for the MVP? I thought the golden ball was... No, I guess it's a cup. I guess the team trophy is the cup. Yeah.
But it's not a cup, which is weird. Why is the World Cup not an actual cup?
Why can't it be like the Stanley Cup?
Why can't it
have some sort of cup either? It's more of a jug.
But it's got a cup on the top.
You held a cup the size of the Stanley Cup?
No, but at least there's some sort of cup feature
to it.
Yeah, it is. It's more of a bowl.
You're being very literal today.
Yeah.
A lot of parsing.
Literal Tuesday.
Yeah. Every word is just...
Literal Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. It's crunchy.
What can I say?
Yeah. Yes.
But it's a fair question, though. Why is the World Cup not a cup? That's all. Just asking. I read your column.
Thanks. Page one.
Yeah. Yeah, I just know how you have talked about this.
Well, in that column, you may have noticed I reviewed some of their activities of the whole 2 weeks.
Yeah, I don't think you're a huge fan of some of the stuff they've pulled.
I was not. And again, the notion that they overcame anything... They did not overcome anything. They're the best team by a lot. They're really fun to watch. They're more fun to watch than the men. I'll give them all that. TV ratings, I understand all that. I was watching it because they made themselves must-watch TV.
Hardy's critique of Sunday was people that watched.
Oh. Yeah, my main critique is anyone who sat inside on the most glorious of days that we've experienced so far in this year of 2019. You need to have your head examined.
Record it. I was working. Yep. I had to write in real time.
Okay, so you had a deadline.
It was my job that day.
Everybody else, inexcusable.
I understand that.
I don't think it's all that fun to watch. We are honest to a fault when it comes to, you know, how we talk about sports around here. And a lot of the criticism of the people criticizing the Women's World Cup team have used the terms, you know, sexist or you're chauvinist. And I said, this is the opposite of that. Give them the same treatment we give any other team. And I'll say it, whether it's about a baseball game or a football game, I just found the games not all that enjoyable to watch, whether it was a 13-0 drubbing of Thailand or even a 2-0 World Cup final game where the winning goal is a penalty kick where the keeper froze took a half a step in the wrong direction, never made a play on the ball. I just didn't think it was very good soccer.
Well, we were too much better than them. It was no contest.
A 2-0 win where you're the game winner is a penalty kick, that's not too much better than that. Overall, yes, the U.S. women are, I think, head and shoulders above 90% of what the rest of the planet can put together. Yeah, the scoring chances weren't there for most of their opponents. But just in terms of the overall product and the entertainment value, if you take away what was at stake and just watch that game in a vacuum, it's not that great to watch.
Well, I would agree with that. Like any 1-0 baseball game, pretty much. It's the stakes that generally make it better, don't you think?
Generally, yes. But you can have outstanding plays and you can have exciting moments within low-scoring games. Right. I'm not talking about the score. I'm just talking about, you know, the overall level of play and the level of competition. They weren't all that compelling. What made it compelling was that they were trying to win their second straight world championship, and they were doing it in, I guess, you know, colorful and sometimes flamboyant ways. And you can substitute those words for obnoxious and irritating if you want.
Yes, I think they created a situation where most of the rest of the world was rooting against them. That's how it felt to me.
Now, it's hard for the rest of the world to get behind any other team other than their own team. And it's hard for the rest of the world to get behind an overwhelming favorite,
too.
Well,
Hardy, when we were playing the Netherlands, I think that Spain, England, Germany, they were all rooting for the Netherlands.
Well, I think you're rooting for the underdog.
Well, yeah, and they hate us.
But they hate us, you know, regardless of what, you know, the
this team,
those women on that team
this
do.
This team manufactured more of that than most.
They didn't do anything to help international relations.
Correct.
How's that?
Correct.
They did not bring the world together.
No, they were not diplomats.
No.
Every story about them was they make no apologies. That was the mantra. Make no apologies.
That's fine. You know, go out there, kick ass, take names, score 13 goals. Just don't act like it's an accomplishment of any kind when you score goals 9, 10, 11, 12, and 13 against Thailand. Apparently, it's not that tough to do.
Well, I would say that this is something that I've repeatedly said I'm not really into. But since you're discussing it, Dan, the whole thing about we're not here to make friends, well, then don't be pissed if someone doesn't like it. They seemed upset that people didn't like it.
This is the straw man, the boogeyman.
Like, if you're going to be about we're not here to make friends, well, then don't be mad if someone doesn't want to be your friend.
They had no competition.
Right?
They had no competition. They had to manufacture.
Then embrace that and not have friends.
They manufactured their competition with this. Like, everyone's against us. No one likes us, you know, and we're gonna win anyway. Because the teams they were playing weren't good enough to compete with them. So they kind of manufactured opponents, which was everyone else, the noise. And they did that. They manufactured, you know, the president. They went full Monty on all of that stuff. You know, talking about having the best team and the second best team, winning 13-0, you know, sipping tea after beating England, you know, down the line.
That was a pretty good celebration.
That one I didn't have a problem with,
sort of,
because,
like,
yeah, on July 2nd when that took place, I think any reminder that we should be trying to stick it to England at every opportunity, absolutely. There's way too much love of the royal family in this country, especially in Boston.
Yeah.
So I'm not down with that. So if you want to, you know, give it to England a little bit, that's fair game. Good. And I'm glad you did it. Just
Hardy
a day
enjoys
or two.
Anytime you stick it to England.
Well, just especially right before the 4th of July. What are we getting ready to celebrate here? You know, it's good. That one didn't bother me. Yeah, they tried to adopt this "they hate us because they ain't us" type of attitude, which is very patriot-like. What is not patriot-like is flaunting it and being flamboyant about it and showboating about it. Part of it is the sport. Part of it is the fact that they don't get a chance to do it on a big stage all that often, because this is the only time people pay attention to soccer is during the World Cup, men or women. So part of it is that, but also, some of it, I think, is, all right, it's just not all that likable. And that's okay. If you like winning and you just want to like the winning, then they gave it to you. They gave it to you in spades for two championships in a row. For that, they deserve all kinds of accolades. I just don't try and tell me that I have to like it and I have to appreciate it and I'm not allowed to be critical of it just because they're women, because that's just, that is treating them, you know, as a chauvinist would. Oh, they're women. You know, we have to, you know, hands off. We got to be. No, you don't have to be nice. When they're treated as equals, fine. Talk about the parts that you like, which I do, the winning. Talk about the parts that you don't like, which is some of the obnoxious behavior. Right. I don't care for it. I don't care for it. Men, women, any team.
Side topic.
Yeah.
You know what the Brits are all upset about over there right now? The christening. Archie's christening was held in private. You know about this?
No.
Yeah, they're very upset that Meghan Markle and Prince Harry had Archie's christening in private.
Was he wearing his Yankee onesie?
They believe that it should be a public affair because, you know, they're the royal family.
This is what Hardy's talking
I
about.
I believe they and should they, dissolve they, the royal family they, as they are no, they and, mean
and,
nothing.
And because they fund the operation.
Right,
that,
right.
That it should be a public affair.
Oh, my God.
In which I say, why are you still doing this?
Why do you still have a queen and princess? And
give them a date and say, listen, you've got like till 2021 and then that's it. You move out.
Well, no, you
we're going to give you a one-time lump sum payment and it's for like living expenses like, for the rest of your lifetime to live in a nice home.
Like J.D. Martinez, we'll give you $2.5 million to go.
Right, right. We're giving you the separation payment. We're going to give you the opt-out payment. The J.D. Martinez opt-out payment. You're going to be able to afford, you know, a like really that. Nice home.
Opt-out for the
family. You're going to... Yes.
I'm glad you brought up payment, though.
Yes.
To bring it back, it's
a team option, and we're exercising it. And you'll be okay, though. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
To bring it back to soccer for a second, though, yeah. I'm glad you brought up payment because does anybody like it when athletes whine about how much they're making? Is that anything that is generally
Never.
Embraced?
Never.
So, again... There's a lot of talk about how much they're making, and they're not making enough.
Well, they really don't make a lot of money, though.
Well, according to, and this is a comprehensive forensic accounting, you know, research and deep dive on the numbers from the Washington Post. If you use a 20-game scenario where you win, lose, whatever, you know, men and women, the women would earn $28,333 less than the men, or 89% of the compensation that a male player would make. We're not talking about a third or a half. They make 89% of what the men would make based on a 20-game scenario, and that includes lead-up games and exhibition games because the women are guaranteed a salary, the men are not.
Okay.
You know, and the men get paid for appearing in matches. Even if they lose, the women don't. But they're structured differently. And what I would say at the end of all of this, when they redid this whole deal a couple of years ago.
Sure.
Don't sign it.
Do you know what I saw?
They said, we signed it so we didn't have to go on strike. Go on strike.
Yeah.
Major League Baseball went on strike.
Yeah.
You know, the hockey players have not played. NFL players said, don't play. But you can do one or the other. You can sign it and not complain about it, or don't sign it. If you signed it, I don't want to hear the complaining.
I told you it's one of the more interesting stories about this is the pay issue. And I saw a story today. Again, I look at different stories and there's different estimates and different numbers in every story you read about this. But one
Correct.
Story I read today had one estimate at $6 billion as what FIFA took in from the last men's World Cup a year ago. $6 billion was one estimate. If that number is true, then the men should be going out on strike with the women.
Yes.
And they should all be going out on strike because soccer players are not making enough in general. They all should go out on strike is what they should all do together.
And when it comes to the U.S. side and the sponsorships involved.
Because nobody's making enough money there.
It's impossible to separate what the women are responsible for and what the men are responsible for because they are lumped together in these sponsorships.
They sell the sponsorships together.
The United States Soccer Federation, you are sponsoring U.S. soccer. Are they bringing them on? Are these people signing up because the men and the women? Doesn't matter. They don't know. They can't, so that's, you know, that's divvied up. Who knows? You know, you get into all these theories and hypotheticals, but what is not, and what you can read, is the 89% number. That's from the U.S. Now, what FIFA does is on their own. And to that, I would repeat what I said yesterday, Peter. Oh, you tell me that soccer is corrupt?
Yep,
you tell me that,
it is.
That people aren't getting paid what
Shocked.
They're supposed to? Oh, yeah. Well, knock me over with a feather.
We will go right to your calls with Dan Shaughnessy next, and Dan's dates are coming up at 12:50.
Everybody, it's the moment you've been waiting for.
Hot takes.
Where you can clearly see there's a gap where the tip digs in, and then boom, it pops up.
Oh, yeah. Zoe and Beetle.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
617-779-0985, the telephone number. Dan Shaughnessy is with us. Dan's date's coming up.
Yeah.
How are they today?
Just good? Play the rest of this song.
So and the date's good?
Dates are actually not bad. Yeah. Fairly strong.
We had a death today. Do you report deaths on the day of?
Ross Perot. My goodness, 89 years old. We did celebrate his birthday a few weeks back. He was a Tuesday guy.
He was a Tuesday guy.
His birthday
Tuesday
this year.
Birthday
whatever
this year.
Day I was here, it was his birthday.
Ed's in Quincy today. Ed.
Hi. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Ed.
I have a few quick comments to make. I've been on hold here for a long time, so hopefully I can get them in. Number one, the last start by Chris Sale against Toronto, it really pissed me off. The teammates were actually in the doubt after he had given up the go-ahead home run, okay? I was so mad, I was going to put my foot through the TV set. You know,
you'd fit in right here in this studio. We've done that.
If he was 8-3 instead of 3-8, this team, like he should be for making $27.5 million a year, they'd be like much closer to the Yankees, okay? And this would be a hot race. Because of him and all his excuses, it just made me so mad. I couldn't believe they were actually high-fiving.
I didn't see the high-fives. I was too busy. Nesson cut away to his two immaculate innings after he gave up the third home run to Toronto and came off, and they were highlighting the immaculate innings against the Blue Jays and the Orioles. That was unbelievable. I mean, never mind what you just saw. What about those strikeouts? He's second in the league in strikeouts.
Ooh, terrific. Yeah, they've really done the team a lot of good, haven't they? Those strikeouts.
I have a feeling that this guy is going to break down again, okay? And that's dangerous because he's got this, making them a ton of money for the next 4 or 5 years. And it's pretty scary. But, you know, if they don't, maybe the opt out would be the best thing.
Well, there's nothing there with him now. You just locked
nope.
him in.
He's locked in, man.
His money's going up next year, and he's here to stay. And I would not characterize him as a guy making excuses. I don't agree with that. I think he feels very badly about it. But I think that the larger point is what is happening. And again, traditionally, he has gone downhill in August, September. They can ill afford to have that happen again. And, too much contact, too many homers. And ZRA is over 4.
His salary this year is $15 million, and that means his number for payroll tax is $15 million.
And that's going way up.
Next year, it goes to 30.
Yep.
And it will be 30 in 2020 and 2021 and 2022. And then there is some relief in 2023 and 2024 when it goes to $27.5 million in those 2 years.
Yeah, the rush to sign him this spring was there was no need to do that. And again, that's not second guessing. That's,
and then there's a vesting option for 2025 when he's 36 years old for $20 million.
He was almost in too much of a hurry to go for that, which kind of made you wonder, too. Because you could tell, I mean, John Henry made a big point on his annual picnic table moment to talk about how healthy Chris Sale was, and there was no issue last year. When, remember, he pitched like 8 innings the last 2 months of the season, and then they spotted him in the postseason. But we were told that there's no health issues at all. I'm like, they're going to re-sign this guy. This is coming.
Derek in Foxborough. Derek.
Yeah, now that Kawhi Leonard has gone to the Clippers, can people stop criticizing Danny Ainge for not giving up the farm to trade for this guy? Because look where Toronto is now. They're left completely holding the bag. They've got to be irrelevant for the next 10 to 15 years.
Yeah, they also just won a championship, which you've won.
I would rather, since
1986, so I'm not going
to... I understand that, but I would rather build something a little more sustainable, a 5 or 6 year dynasty.
I don't think a call for more patience with Danny Ainge is really the way to go. I think he gets more patience than anybody. I mean, really. I mean, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I did.
No, that's all right. But I just, I'd rather build something, If they had given up Tatum and Brown for Leonard and then he walked, they'd be in ruins. And that's what I just feel like the criticism's too strong.
I don't think there's enough criticism of Danny. And I'm not one to pile on him myself. Nobody hooted on them for not giving up those two players for 1 year, Kawhi Leonard. I mean, nobody wanted to do that. I didn't, because it was the same thing when Davis came up.
I don't think anyone was ripping on them for that.
No.
I know I didn't.
No. Nobody wanted to give up the two young, 22-year-old guys. for a 1 year of a guy, no matter who that guy is. No heat. No heat on Danny.
Stan in Medfield, what do you got on Chris Sale?
Hey, man, how's it going? So I just don't understand why everybody's so surprised that Chris Sale's going through these problems. I mean, a couple of years ago, at the end of the season, he was tired. He had to get some
right
before entering the postseason. Last year, he got hurt, and they had to baby him going into the playoffs. So that's where we're at. It's like a Tim Lincecum type of thing.
I'm not surprised. Dan, are you surprised?
No, they've always babied him.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, I mean, he's...
Hardy, are you surprised?
No. Player.
Nobody's surprised here. I don't think anyone is. I think if anyone's surprised, it would be the Red Sox because they just signed him like there was nothing wrong.
And the body type, again, 180-pound guy, 6'6". There's just nothing to him. And it's a violent action that he has. And he's unhittable at times. But this year he has not been. And they don't win the games that he starts. I think they're... like 6-12 in his starts.
I'm just happy that it did not prevent them from signing Xander Bogaerts. I'm thankful for that, but that doesn't make his issues any better.
Yeah, the Bogaerts thing is good all around. Good for the player, good for the team, and you had a sense that he really wanted to be here and wanted to stay here and took less, didn't do the whole betting on myself thing, find out what's out there. No, he liked it here. And then he signed it, and then he got better. That's a rare combination.
He's having a great year. That's the one positive out of all of this, is that it did not prevent them from signing Bogaerts. He stayed. He took a deal that was less than what he would have gotten on the market, I believe, and they still retain him, and he's here. And that's all good. That's all good news for the Red Sox. Coming up next, Dan's dates. Stay tuned. I don't think there are three words in sports that get more people excited about what is yet to come.
Zolak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Damn it, I'm a Dapper Dan man.
And now it's time for Dapper Dan's Dates of Distinction.
For Dapper Dan.
Time now for Dan's Dates. It is July 9th, and we are loaded on dates, Dan, so take it away.
Yeah, pretty good day to be born, July 9th. Ed Ames is 92 today. Now, I'm assuming none of you know who Ed Ames is. Okay, well, just Google it sometime. Johnny Carson, Ed Ames. He's the one when Carson throws the tomahawk at the drawn-out figure on TV, and Ed Ames was the star of the show. Just look him up sometime. Donald Rumsfeld is 87. Brian Dennehy is 81. How old do you guys think O.J. Simpson is today? It's his birthday.
70s. Wow. He's got to be like 71, 72?
72, on the nose.
That's good.
The great Chris Cooper, who lives around here.
In Marshfield, right? He's South Shore guy.
South Shore, yeah. His wife's an author, wonderful guy, great actor. He's 68 years old today. Immortal John Tesh is 67 years old today.
John Tesh, who came up with the NBA on NBC theme, right?
See?
It's Ground Ball Rock.
Yeah, pretty good. Da-da-da-na-na-na-na. Jimmy Smits is 64.
Love Jimmy Smits.
He looks good.
Yeah.
You know,
NYPD great. Blue, one of the greatest television shows of all time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Pushed the envelope on network television.
It did.
NYPD Blue.
Got to see Dennis Franz and his bare ass on the TV set.
It was the greatest.
Sipowicz, right?
Sipowicz.
I met Gordon Clapp last winter. He played Detective Greg Medavoy.
He was always saying Point Taken. I saw him in a local theater production.
How was he?
He was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His wife, I think, works like Boston Children's or something.
He was the reason I wanted to see Medavoy on stage. Yeah, it was good.
Good.
Did a good job. Tom Hanks' birthday is today. Another super, superstar. The great at everything. How old is he?
59.
63.
No, he's in his 60s.
Yeah.
Okay.
Forrest Gump. The immortal Kelly McGillis.
How old is Tom Hanks' son? Think of that.
Right.
Oh, Colin Hanks. He's got to be in his 30s. Yeah. All right. Kelly McGillis.
Most famous role?
Top Gun.
Thank you. What's her name in that? You know?
Call sign Charlie. That's her call sign.
Wow, pretty good.
Yeah.
She is 62 years old today.
All right.
Courtney Love is 55 years old today. Jack White is 44.
Jack White's only 44 years old.
Jack White. Feels like he should be older than that. Feels like Jack White is cheating.
He's looked like a poltergeist for most of his life.
And a guy, we can't believe he's getting older. Fred Savage, 43.
Oh, well.
Oh, God. The Wonder Years. I bet Zo must be a Wonder Years guy. Right?
I never watched it.
Really?
No.
I'm shocked.
Never?
Underrated.
Well, great. Didn't it have like a voiceover to it?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. And I was
Daniel Stern.
Yeah, and I always thought that was like such a ripoff of Stand By Me. Stand By Me had Richard Dreyfuss doing the voiceover, and then like a year or two later,
what came out first?
Wonder Years came out, and I'm like, oh, they're just ripping off that whole vibe
and a Bronx Tale,
from
which you
Stand
hate
By Me.
As a voiceover.
You know? Sounds, well, it's
everything with Morgan Freeman, Shawshank, as a voiceover.
This was different, though. It had that nostalgic, I'm all grown up now, looking back on my life,
I loved it.
Voiceover.
Yeah. Joe Kelly, Fightin' Joe, is 31 years old today. Stuff that happened on July 9th. In 1776, the Declaration of Independence was read aloud to George Washington, the troops in New York. In 1850, the 12th president, Zach Taylor, died after serving only 16 months. He was succeeded by the immortal Millard Fillmore.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. He's good.
In 1962, pop artist Andy Warhol's exhibit of 32 paintings of Campbell's soup cans, also known as the AOC East, opened at the Ferris Gallery in Los Angeles. You know, no, I always call the AFC East the Warhol. I don't know if anybody picks up on that.
No, you never have.
No, all the time. The Warhol division.
I had it in the Sunday paper.
He calls it that all the time.
I reference the starting quarterbacks in the Warhol this year.
He does call it the Warhol division.
You have Brady, who's won 237 games coming playoffs, and the other three guys, projected starters, have 12 wins in the NFL. Yeah, that's the Warhol. 1995, Jerry Garcia performed for the final time as frontman of the Grateful Dead concert at Soldier Field. He died a month later. On this date last year, President Trump chose Brett Kavanaugh, a conservative, politically connected federal appeals court judge, to the Supreme Court. We know how that went. Stuff that happened on this day, boy, in... I don't have the year. Ted Williams, this was his... I think it's 46.
Oh, I got that. Yeah,
two
you're
homers,
right.
2 singles... 8 Red Sox were on the team. American League All-Stars routed the senior circuit 12-0. On this date in 2002, Bud Selig presided over the 7-7 tie in Milwaukee, which went 11 innings.
That was a bad one.
That it helped you in many ways. It led to this year it counts, this time it counts, and the Red Sox were beneficiaries of that three times, winning the World Series in 04, 07, and 13, in which the American League had won the All-Star game and the Sox had home field. Thank you very much to that game. 1976, Thomas A. Yawkey died at Fenway Park. He bought the Red Sox in 34. It was a long reign.
He died at Fenway Park?
Good question. All right. I would say no.
Okay.
Yeah. I was at Fenway
Park. So what, you just made that up?
I said it wrong. It was a big deal, though. And then,
am I taking things too literally again by asking that?
I asked.
That's been your day.
Well, you say died at Fenway Park. You think they were the spot marked.
And today,
you
know, I will say, Red Beagle, seat. I'm secure that he is rolling over in his grave, though. Change the name of his street. Take his name off things. Thomas A. Yawkey.
Yeah, that was pretty much demanded of them at some point.
Yeah, it was. That's all I got.
We're doing it just, you know, to be
I've flipped. Got some movie and music stuff. If you want that, American Pie came out on this day.
Oh, my God.
The original.
1971?
No, 1999.
Oh,
you're thinking of Don McLean.
Yeah, you're thinking Don McLean. I'm talking about the movie franchise started.
Original.
Yeah, no, not the song. Movie.
That's the original.
My bad. On to the music stuff or more entertainment. Dick Clark's first appearance as the host of American Bandstand.
1955?
1956. On this day in 56. 69, the Beatles went to Abbey Road to record Maxwell's Silver Hammer on this day.
One of their unfortunate tunes.
They had to bring John Lennon back in after a car crash, and they wheeled in a bed for Yoko to be there.
Of course.
She was in the same car crash.
Neck brace, no doubt.
They brought... Neck brace, no doubt.
You know she'd be a neck brace guy.
2013, Lauryn Hill went to prison on this day in Connecticut for tax evasion. I don't remember this.
I don't remember Lauryn Hill going to prison.
Lauryn
Hill. How long did she go for?
She went to prison. She began a 3-month prison sentence for not paying taxes on $1.8 million in earnings that happened between 2005 and 2007.
Idiot.
She just didn't pay her taxes.
Like Wesley Snipes.
They catch up to you on those things.
Just don't pay them.
Especially
you're
when you're
prison.
Talking to taxes on $1.8 million.
Right.
Yeah, they sent her to prison in Connecticut. She went to prison. Cheap Trick went to number one on the U.S. singles chart on this date in 1988. For their only number one hit that they had in their career, and it was this song.
Yeah. It was a ballad.
A
cashing in on that late 80s.
I do know this song.
Power ballad.
This is not the song we typically hear from Cheap Trick on this show.
No.
No.
We go with Surrender.
Oh,
almost exclusively.
It's amazing that this could be the same band, really, when you listen to Surrender and then listen to this. I guess you could make the claim that they're versatile, but
there's a lot of bands like that where it's far from, you know, there being their best song. It ends up being the one that, quote unquote, charts the highest. This is actually not a bad song.
Turn up, Tom!
It's going to kick in. You're the first to be the last. Wherever you go,
I'll be with you. All I know is that wherever Zoe is right now, he's like, yeah, that's a good one. Oh, that's great. I remember this. I'll give it to you. Yeah, this was number one in 88, this week in 88. You remember this one, Dan?
I do not.
Okay. All right, thanks for being here, Dan.
Yeah, next week.
You'll be back next week.
Sure will.
You'll be here next Tuesday. I won't be seeing you, but someone else will. Thanks for the time, Dan.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Bye, Dan.
Extra 92 seconds or so.
92 seconds of for overtime. Not a lot.
Not a lot, but enough.
We did not compel him to stay any longer.
Extra time. Yeah, okay.
Injury time?
Extra time. Extra time. Whatever they call that stupid stuff in soccer, he just said. So he's mumbling over there.
I don't remember anyone bringing out the magic spray for Dan at any point during his appearance here. Listen,
he's still over there ranting about
soccer. I agree. The one guy holding the clock
still
up, it's still
soccer.
Where's the countdown? Where's the seconds? Where is it? No, that's it. I say that's enough. I know.
All right, Tim McCone has our headlines. We'll get you caught up on everything that's going on. All-Star Game is happening tonight in baseball. NBA free agency is sort of quiet now. All the big stuff has happened, but it did catch the attention of NFL players. You might be thinking, well, why was that? Why are NFL players so interested in NBA free agency? NFL players apparently think they deserve more money after watching NBA free agency. What those two things have to do with each other, I don't know. We'll try and connect those dots in 90 seconds.
This just in, the Women's World Cup players feel like they deserve more money because Tom Cruise made $50 million for the last Mission Impossible. What?
Huh?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.